one very, very sweet prayer by Srila Rupa Goswami. Eight very simple verses that describe Krishna, Keshava, coming home from the forest. Did you read this today? This is a meditation, because each day, all day, we meditate on so many things. Our mind makes us go here, meditating on that, and then it makes us go there. The mind is chanchal. What does chanchal mean? It's flickering. Astiram. Unsteady. Now, if somehow or another, we can focus our mind upon the beauty of Krishna, then we are very fortunate. Please listen. And try to listen so well with your ears that you actually see Krishna as he's described. These are the words of Srila Rupa Goswami. Of course, they're translations of the words of Rupa Goswami. He says, I worship Lord Keshava. He's coming back from the forests of Braja. He wears flower earrings, a crown of fully blossomed malati flowers, jasmine flowers, so fragrant, and a pavitra, a Brahmin thread of small, charming, white and reddish jasmine flowers. I worship Lord Keshava. He is coming back from the forests of Braja. He happily calls his straying Sarabi cows, O Pishangi, O Manakashtini, Pranata Sringi, Pingala, Madanga Muki, O Dumala, O Suwali, O Hansi, O Vansi, O Priya. Would you like Krishna to call you by your name? He continues, I worship Lord Keshava, coming back from the forest of Braja. His cheeks are licked by a stream of perspiration. He is decorated with pictures drawn in mineral colors from Govardhan Hill, and his curling locks of hair deride the splendor of a swarm of black bees. I worship Lord Keshava, coming back from the forest of Braja. With the sweet sound of his flute, he calls the Sarabi cows, who, eager to see their young calves, they break the ground with their heavy, dancing hoofs. I worship Lord Keshava, coming back from the forest of Braja. He beautifies the path with his footprints. He wears a garland. He is decorated with the dust of Braja, raised by the wandering cows, and his garments, his chadar, and his dhoti. His garments, his chadar, his dhoti, and his peacock feather moves with the blowing of the wind. I worship Lord Keshava, coming back from the forest of Braja. With the playful, sweet music of his flute, he delights the heart of Braja's queen. What is the name of Braja's queen? What is her name? Yashoda Devi, yes. And he makes all the gopis in their homes happy at heart. Raise your hand if you feel happy at heart. Do you want Krishna to help you feel happy at heart? And when everyone hears the sound of Krishna's flute, the hairs on their bodies stand erect with the ecstasy of their joy. I worship Lord Keshava. He is coming back from the forest of Braja. He is worshipped by the young gopis who climb to the tops of the roofs of their palaces, and they meet him on the path with the glancing of their eyes and their gentle smiles. And the corner of Keshava's eyes wander, and they fall upon the gopis. Now next we will read what is called the Shruti Phal. What does Shruti Phal mean? What does Shruti Phal mean? What does Shruti mean?
Hearing.
And what is Phal? The fruit. The fruit of hearing this. Blessed by Rupa Goswami himself. May Vishakha's friend Krishna give transcendental happiness and unwavering love for Krishna's lotus feet to the splendidly intelligent persons who attentively have heard these 8 verses, which are a glorious festival for all of the Braja gopis. Now, we've heard just now about Krishna, the Bhagavan Swayam, the Supreme Lord, as he comes home from tending the cows. His body is decorated with dust. His ears are decorated with flower earrings. He's wearing garlands of vanamala around his neck. He is so beautiful. His curling locks of hair resemble the color of blackish bees. And he has the sweetest smile upon his face as his eyes dance, looking at one devotee after the next. But who is Krishna? Yes, he's so beautiful. We see pictures of him everywhere. The Srimad Bhagavatam, in its very first verse, describes its purpose as a meditation upon Krishna, who is known as the Param Satya, the Absolute Truth. There is a difference between the Absolute Truth, the concept of the Absolute Truth, and the concept of God. There is a difference. What is the difference in Prabhupada's purport to the first verse of the Bhagavatam? He explains that the Absolute Truth means the all-inclusive reality. There is nothing outside of the Absolute Truth by definition. Everything in existence, everything in non-existence is included in the Absolute Truth. And the concept of God means generally the creator or the Ishwara. What does Ishwara mean? The controller. So what a great difference in conception between the Absolute Truth, who everything emanates from and nothing is outside of, and the concept of controller or creator. Because the controller and the creator, this concept has to do with this material world. He controls and creates this material world. But because he is the creator of the material world, That implies that he existed before the material world. If he created the material world, he certainly had to exist before it to create it. Now, what is the name of God before he creates and controls the material world? What is the name of that absolute truth that includes everything? Yes, the controlling of the material world. Yes, the maintaining and creating of the material world. But also includes what he does before he creates the material world, and what he does during the creation of the material world. Do we think that God is some IT man who is just sitting there at the keyboard? Maybe. Do you think so? Well, he's more than that. Because that description of the IT man doesn't fit with that description of Keshava. Because the IT man, he's sitting at the keyboard. I once saw a cartoon, a joke, that was really defined people's concept of God as the controller. This concept of God, an old man, is sitting at the keyboard, an IT man, and he's looking at the screen. And on the screen, there's a man walking down the road, and there's a big building, and hanging from the big building is a piano. And God, his finger is on the enter button, and he's waiting till this fellow walks underneath the piano, and then he's going to push the enter button, and we know what's going to happen next. Is that what God does all day long? He's just waiting to push the button so we get all the reactions we do or don't deserve. He's sitting there programming the computer so that the sun rises on time and the moon rises on time and that the stars work and the spring comes and the rain comes and the flowers bloom on schedule. Is this all he is? Even the IT man gets a break and a vacation every now and then. What does he do for fun? What does that controller, that Ishwara, do for fun? What does he do when he's not controlling the material world? What does he do for his own pleasure? This is the concept that the Srimad Bhagavatam wishes to lead us to. To have such an intimate knowledge, intimate understanding, such an intimate relationship with the Absolute Truth, so much love for that person, that Supreme Person, Krishna, Keshava, that we are allowed into his most intimate quarters to find out what he actually likes to do. To find out what gives the Absolute Truth pleasure. When we conceive of God as the IT operator, the computer programmer, or the one who pushes the enter button, we may be very good because we don't want the piano to fall on our head. And we may be very respectful to that absolute, to that Ishwara, Parameshwara controller, because we don't want him to do things that we want our stocks to rise. We want whatever we want to happen. We don't want him to be angry at us. So we're very, very respectful and very good. But that concept, that fear, does not evoke any love in the heart. And without love, we cannot be happy. And without loving Krishna, without having that relationship with the Supreme Lord, he is not satisfied in that relationship either. He is always satisfied by definition. But yet, when the relationship of love is lacking with the living entity, still He wants us to come up in our consciousness. So when the Bhagavatam in the first verse describes the Absolute Truth, Janmadyasya Yataha Anvyoritaratchateshu Bhigyasvarat, He is the one who nothing is different from. He is the one who knows everything directly and indirectly. He is the one, Muyanti Yatsuraya, who casts a spell of illusion on everyone and disallows everyone in the material world to see Him. He drops the curtain of illusion. And although we see the world, we don't see the person behind the world. That is His Maya, His illusion. Maya literally means that which is not. When we see the world, we actually don't see it as it is. Because Krishna is the Absolute Truth. He is there in every situation, in every place, in everything. There is nowhere where He is absent. If He is the one who casts the spell of Maya, He is the one who can also lift the spell of Maya. And if He lifts the spell of Maya, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena Santasa Daiva Ridhi Suvalokayanti Yam Shaima Sundaram Achintya Guna Sarupam, we will be able to see Krishna everywhere. The question can be asked, is it possible to see God? Is it possible to see this Absolute Truth? Is it possible to see Krishna? Is it actually possible? And the answer is, if one loves Krishna, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochana, if we actually have love for Krishna, there will be no place we look where we don't see Him. Not only will it be possible, or is it possible to see Him, if our consciousness is correct, there will be no place we cast our eyes when we don't see Him. That vision is possible. And the Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us how we can gain that vision. And at first, in that first verse, it describes the Absolute Truth, which the whole Bhagavatam with its 12 cantos is a meditation upon. Tene Brahma Ridaya. He is the one who spoke the Bhagavatam originally and enlightened Brahma, Lord Brahma, from within His heart. Narastakuhakam, Dhamna Svena Sada Narastakuhakam. That He is situated in His abode in Goloka Vrindavan. In the spiritual world, yes, He is everywhere. But His mystic powers are such that He is not only everywhere, but He is also somewhere. He is not only everywhere, but He is also somewhere. And this is where the material mind becomes confused. When we understand the material mind with its finite ability to conceive, because we can understand that the Supreme Absolute Truth is everywhere, and if I take a piece of paper and spread it everywhere throughout the room, it loses its existence as a piece of paper. So we think that because Krishna is everywhere, we think that He is also not somewhere. But this is the material intelligence, the finite, tiny intelligence trying to understand the absolute, the unlimited. And without our tiny intelligence, we cannot understand the infinite, the absolute. We cannot understand the inconceivable, transcendental, unlimited potency of the absolute truth, who is none different from anything, but yet is a person. Vedanti tat tattva vigyas tatvam yajganam adayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaneti sabyate. Those who know the truth, who actually are realized, they perceive this absolute truth in one out of three ways. If you perform Gyan Yoga, Advaita Gyan, you will see the absolute truth is all pervading in all existence. There is one absolute truth, but different ways that we can see that absolute truth, perceive it. And then a yogi will see that absolute truth through his practice of yoga, not by doing exercises once a week to get healthy, but through actually practicing yoga. A yogi will attain samadhi, dharan dhyan samadhi, and then he will perceive the absolute truth as Ishvara sarva bhutanam riddhishe arjuna tishtiti, as the Paramatman, everyone saw it. He will see how the absolute truth is everywhere and everything, as the Paramatma. And then, if one practices bhakti, and if one loves Krishna and serves him with devotion, then, by the mercy of Krishna, he sees him as Shyamasunda, as Keshava. He sees him everywhere, in everything, but he sees him in his most beautiful, intimate, lovable feature. That's Krishna Shyamasunda, Gopijana Balava, Madhava. What other name of Krishna is there that is beautiful? Govinda. So, that verse, that first verse of the Bhagavatam ends, Param Satyam Dhimahi. That the Bhagavatam is a meditation upon this absolute truth. Param Satyam, absolute truth. Then, in the next chapter, that verse, Vedanti Tat Tattva Vigyas, describing the three different ways to perceive the absolute truth, is described. And then, in the third chapter, in the very beginning, there is one important verse followed by a more important verse. The first verse of the, or maybe the sixth verse. Maybe, no, it's the first verse of the third chapter. Jagrahe purusham rupam bhagavan maha adibi. This verse describes all the different avatars, how they all come. This, the first of these avatars is called the Purusha avatar. Bhagavan accepts the form of this Purusha avatar, and Rupam, Jagrahe, accepts that form, Purusham Rupam, the form of this Purusha, which is Mahavishnu. And he is Bhagavan Maha Adibi. From him, all the ingredients of all the creation come. Everything that we see, from the wood to the carpet to the speaker to the microphone to the things we don't see, the air to our eyesight, everything that exists in the creation, it comes from this Purusha. That's what that verse says. And then, after describing that, so many different incarnations are described, from Varaha to Matsya to Lasringadev, So many different incarnations. The different incarnations are described to be as, in the Bhagavad Gita, to be as numerous as the waves of the Ganga. And then, in the 28th verse of this third chapter, and this will describe who Krishna is, it says, Ete cha angsa kalapung san. That all the different incarnations that have been just described, they are either portions, parts, or parts of the part of that Pumsa, of the Purusha that's described in the first verse of Mahavishnu's part, actually, Kiridaksa Vishnu. It's very scientific. All the incarnations, all the universe comes from the expansion of the expansion of the expansion of Krishna. And then, Sutta Goswami describes, Ete Chansa Kalapung San, Krishna Tu Bhagavan Sayam. That all the incarnations come from this Purusha. Tu means but. But, of all that I have described, and Krishna was one of those incarnations that was described. Of all that I have described, it is Krishna who is Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna who wanders home after herding the cows. Krishna whose hair is beautiful is the original Bhagavan. He is the source of all the incarnations. He is the source of everything. And today, mysteriously enough, is what? Is his, or we say commonly, his birthday. Now, this is quite mysterious. That the absolute truth, the source of everything, who is eternal, he has a birthday. Why does Krishna, the absolute truth, the source of everything, the source of even all the other incarnations, the avatars, how is it possible that he is born? How is it possible that we are all here celebrating the day that he's born? How is it possible that he's born in prison? How is it possible that the absolute truth, the unlimited supreme Lord, gets tied up by the ropes of Mother Yasoda? How is it possible that he's covered with the dust of Vrindavan as he's herding the cows? And how is it possible that he calls the cows by their names? And how is it possible that the residents of Vrindavan love him to such a degree that he allows them to bind him with the ropes of their love? This is very mysterious. It is most mysterious because it is impossible, practically speaking, to understand the consciousness of the absolute truth, Krishna. So what he does is the most mysterious. Because what causes us to do something? We desire. Either icha, dvesha, samutena, we either want something or we don't want something. And that motivates us to act. But what can motivate the absolute truth who cannot desire anything in the sense that he has everything? What can cause him to act? Very mysterious. If one studies the Bhagavad Gita, if one studies it deeply, one can understand this most mysterious truth. And when we understand what motivates Krishna, the absolute truth, the param satyam, to act, that will clean our heart and it will cause us to develop our relationship deeply with Him. Because now we are acting. We are acting in so many ways. We want this. We want that. We want so many of those. We don't want this. We push that away. We try to pull this towards us. And no matter what we do, we cannot find the satisfaction that we long for. We are addicted to acting. We are addicted to acting in such ways that don't bring us happiness. And if we can understand the Bhagavatam, if we can understand especially what a mysterious phone ring. Everyone, please, either turn your phones onto the Hare Krishna ring or turn them off temporarily. That would be something. We could have a Hare Krishna phone ring kirtan. We could have some computer calling everyone all at once and all the phones wake up and chant Hare Krishna. We should try that one day. We could call it World Hare Krishna Ring Day. But not today. That we can do another day. Because in the Bhagavatam, it describes Krishna in such a way, and his pastimes in such a way, and it leads us to the deepest descriptions of Krishna and his pastimes in such a way that if we deeply enter into this most mysterious science, our hearts will be clean, and we will not be able to resist having a relationship with him. And it won't be a relationship out of fear. And it won't be a relationship out of duty. It won't be a relationship with God, the enter pusher, that we fear not doing the right things so that bad things won't happen to us. No. We will want to have a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead because He is the most wonderful person to have a relationship with. And that relationship will be eternal. It cannot be broken by time. That is what each and every one of us are longing for. Our bodies are just that. They are our bodies. They are not us. Just like this is our scarf, my scarf, and my dhoti, and my bag, and not my iRiver recorder. But it is mine. It is not me. Just like I say, this is my ear, and my... I used to be able to say it was my hair, but it is my... shining top. It is my fingernail. It is not me. No wonder there is so much frustration in this world. We are trying to set, it's like trying to feed the fingernails, the hands, without feeding the stomach. How will we be happy unless we act as we actually are, as souls? We are trying to be happy as if we were bodies. But actually, we cannot be this body. It cannot be me. Why do I say that? Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Dehinos Minyatade, Komaram, Jovanam, Dara, that we pass. And each of us have this experience, except the little ones. They don't know yet that they're going to become older, and then after you become older, you become old. The same person, but in a different body. तथा देहांतरा प्राप्ति धीरस तत्र नमूयते. And if we become wise, sober, dhira, we will actually know that this is not us. And therefore, I cannot be happy just acting as if I was my body. As if that was me. But rather, the Bhagavatam will teach us that our deepest relationship, just like in English, the word for our family members and our cousins and our grandparents and our children, and what do we call them? Our relatives. Yes. But Krishna is our absolute. We have a relative relationship with everyone based on the body, but if we take on another body, we lose that relative relationship, and our relationship with Krishna is absolute. It is always there. The Bhagavatam leads us to awaken our absolute relationship with the absolute, absolute loving relationship with Krishna. So Krishna's tu Bhagavan Sayam. That Krishna is the original, the source of all avatars, the source of everything. He is Bhagavan Sayam. Now, in the 8th chapter of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, Krishna has been born. Not born, but he's appeared in Vrindavan. Not born like we are born. Sambhavam yapma maya. He's born in the sense that he comes to this material world. And avatar means one who descends into the material world. But actually, he doesn't even really descend in the material world, because wherever Krishna is the spiritual world. So the 8th chapter of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam describes Garga Muni, Garga Rishi's coming to perform the Namakaran, the name-giving ceremony of Balarama Krishna. And he is Jyotish Shiromani. He is the best of all knowing astrologers. So when he sees Krishna, Nanda Maharaj is there, and he wants Garga Rishi, Garga Muni, to describe the qualities of Krishna. So I will briefly say what he says about Krishna. He says that he comes in many colors in the past, in every millennium. Yada yada hidamasya glanaya bhavati bharata. He comes, puritranaya sadunam vinashaya chadaskritam, to protect the pious, the sadhus, and to remove the effect of the miscreants. He comes for many reasons, in different forms, many different forms. These are the avatars that are described. And he is also sometimes known as the son of Vasudev. He has many forms and names according to the duties that he performs, the activities that he performs. He has unlimited qualities. He performs unlimited activities. This is a little boy. At this time, he was 3 months old. He has unlimited forms. He comes many times. And he saves the world when it is overburdened. He's not only a little boy, he's the cutest of little boys, the most charming of little boys. And he's unlimitedly powerful. Eshavai Shaya Adasyad Gopagokulinandana. Anyway, I remember the last part. Anena Sarva Durgani, and if you take shelter of this boy, Yujam Anjas Tirishita, you will be saved from every difficulty, every calamity. Yes, calamities, difficulties, they come. They always come. One after the next, we push them away and we think, okay, that was close. But they must come. They must come. And Garga Rishi says, you just take shelter of this boy. And although calamities, difficulties will come, you will be taken care of by his power. In this material world, in life, we set up so many false shelters. And we tend to neglect our relationship with real shelter. He who has the power to always protect us, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Supreme Controller, the Parameswara. Then he says, he appeared in the past, Gauga Rishi says, to reestablish the principles of religion and to curb the rogues and thieves. And no one can harm, this is what Gauga Rishi says, or defeat those who are attached to him. Those who have developed some attachment for this boy, no one can either harm or defeat them. And no one can either harm or defeat those with whom he places his affection. Samoham savabhuteshu name dveshostina priya yeva janti tumam bhaktya mayateshu chapyaham. That Krishna, as the super soul, is equal with everyone. Samoham savabhuteshu name dveshostina priya. But if one worships him, ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya, one who worships him with devotion, I specially live within him. He's in everyone's heart already. But he's neutral. Because we treat Krishna neutrally, he treats us neutrally. But if we worship him with devotion, with some affection, with some love, appreciation, that neutral stance is given up. Name bhakta pranashyati kanteya pratijanihi. Like the judge. The judge treats everyone equally. He has to. But when he's home, he takes off his robes. In Australia, he takes off his wig. And then he treats his family members in a completely different way. Krishna as the super soul is like the judge. Samoham savabhuteshu name dveshostina. He just dispenses the law. But as Bhagavan Sri Krishna, maya tateshu chapyam, we want to develop a loving relationship with him. It is in our interest. And then finally, after explaining that those who have become attached to this boy, Gauga Rishi explains, nothing bad can ultimately happen to them. Not that they don't have material bodies and all that entails. But they are fixed in their shelter and they are not touched by the waves of the material world. They are not touched by the waves. They are sheltered like in a boat. Even if the storm gets fierce, they're situated within the safety of the shelter of the boat of Krishna's lotus feet. And then, Gauga Muni, in one sense, very mysteriously ends his predictions by saying, Tasmat Nandat Majo Yaste Narayano Samo Gunai. He says that this boy, oh Nanda Maharaj, your son, Narayana Sama Gunai, he is equal in quality to Lord Narayan. Sriya Kyunta Sabi Anubhavena Gopiyasva Samahita. And then he says, most mysteriously, take care of him. Very carefully take care of this boy. He is equal to Narayan. He is the absolute truth. He descends, but yet your duty is to take care of him very carefully. And then Gaugamuni leaves. Now, this is really what I wanted to talk about. Here is the absolute truth. This, at this point, a very young and beautiful, beautiful, most charming boy. But yet he's unlimitedly powerful. Unlimitedly powerful. Universes emanate from the pores of his skin. And there he is in Nanda Bhavan, in Gokul. I wanted to read how he acts. Because he's just a little boy. After a short time, this is the Bhagavatam's description of Krishna's childhood activities. After a short time had passed, Ram, Balaram, and Krishna, they began to crawl around on the ground of Braja with the strength of their hands and knees, and they began to enjoy their childhood play. When Krishna and Balaram, with the strength of their legs, they began to crawl, and the muddy places created in Braja by cow dung and cow urine, their crawling was crooked and resembled the crawling of serpents, and the sound of their ankle bells was very charming. They used to follow, and they would hear the sound of the ankle bells of others, other ladies who had come to the house of Yasoda. And they would hear the sound of those ankle bells, and they would think that they were them, that it was Yasoda's ankle bells. And the boys would crawl and follow them, and suddenly they would see, they would hear, the ladies who they were following would turn around and say, oh, Krishna and Balaram are following us. And they would hear that those voices are not the voices of their mothers. And this absolute truth, this most beautiful boy who was crawling in the dust, muddy dust of Braja, would then become frightened. Universes comes from the pores of his skin, and he would become frightened, and he and Balaram would run to Mother Yasoda and Rohini Ma, and they would jump onto their laps and just hold them tightly. Now how would Mother Yasoda feel when this most charming, beloved child would feel frightened, assuming that these others were my mother, and I want my mother. I want my mother. And he would go to Yasoda and embrace her. And what would happen to Yasoda's heart? I want a mother to answer this question. What would happen to Yasoda when her son, this most beautiful, absolute truth. When running to her, or crawling to her, and wrapped his arms around her, what would happen? Any volunteer mothers to answer this question? She would. What happened to her heart? We cannot exactly say, because we can only say what would happen to my heart. It would overflow in love. But what happens to the heart of someone who's fully in love with Krishna, the Absolute Truth, who is playing the part and fully immersed in his relationship with this devotee, in this case, Mother Yasoda, this all-powerful, supreme, absolute truth, is acting in such a way and wrapping his arms around his mother, and his mother's ecstasy of love, like an ocean, like a tidal wave of ecstasy. This is the mysterious relationship that the residents of Braja, of Vrindavan, have with Krishna. Their love is so trusting, so powerful, so full and complete. Their bhakti, their unlimited bhakti, is so complete that it causes Krishna to stay within the courtyard of Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj's house and wrap his arms around Yasoda Mai and cause her to experience the highest ecstasy that it is possible to experience. Incalculable. If we take the happiness that one can experience in this world and times it by 1,000, and then by 1,000,000, and then by 1,000,000. Swami Charan Srila Sriraswami, the original commentator on the Bhagavatam, says if we take the happiness of this world and times it by 1,000,000,000,000,000, we will not be able to find, to get the happiness of Brahmananda, of understanding the Absolute Truth. And if we take that happiness of understanding Brahman, Sayuja Mukti, and if we multiply it again by 1,000,000,000,000,000,000, it will not equal one drop of the Prema Bhakti, the love experienced by the Brijbasis. If we take 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, experiences of love that we have had in this world. And multiply it by a billion times a billion times a billion times a billion times a billion. It will not equal a drop of the ecstasy experienced by Mother Yasoda, who is fully awake in her loving relationship with Krishna and doesn't even care for ecstasy, because all she cares about is Krishna. Loving Krishna brings the greatest ecstasy. But if the devotee has to choose between ecstasy and his loving service to Krishna, he will choose his loving service to Krishna every time. The love in Vrindavan is spotless. Spotless, there is not the slightest tinge of self-interest. It is all centered upon loving Krishna. So Mother Yashoda saw beautiful Krishna and saw his new teeth coming in and felt such happiness. And then Krishna grew a little more. And as he grew, this, remember, is the absolute truth. He began to get unlimitedly naughty. And he became the most makunchor. He began to steal. Try to understand or think about, meditate on what this means. The absolute truth starts to steal butter. And he walks into people's houses and he steals their butter, and they hide the butter, and he finds it, and he puts holes in the pots with iron rods, and he tells all his friends to come and open their mouths as the butter and yogurt will flow out of the pots into their mouths. And then it goes all over the floor. And then he takes butter and he feeds it to the... Yes! And then if the householders in Breza hide the butter so he can't find it, or they don't have it any, he goes and pinches the babies till they cry, and he uses their rooms as his bathroom, his toilet. This is the absolute truth. This is the absolute truth. And sometimes they catch him stealing butter, and he's sitting and eating it, and they say, "We've caught you." And he just sits there. "You're a thief." He says, "No, you're a thief. We're going to complain to you. We're going to complain to Mother Yashoda about you." And they bring him to Mother Yashoda, and he just sits there with the most charming smile on his face. And all the ladies, they come and complain to Mother Yashoda just to experience the ecstasy of talking about Krishna. And they say, "Mother Yashoda, your boy has stolen butter." And Krishna's sitting there, "I never stole any butter. I'm such a good boy." But he's a little afraid that Mother Yashoda is going to punish him. But he has an angelic smile on his face. And when those ladies talking about Krishna and his deeds look at his smile, they feel ecstasy by talking about him. And they feel more ecstasy looking at his charming face. Vrindavan is the most mysterious place. It is the most mysterious place. There are activities that Krishna does in Vrindavan that a materialistic person or the material mind, it cannot even slightly understand. Mother Yashoda is with Krishna, and all the time she is feeding him and feeding him and feeding him. "Oh, my poor boy, he doesn't like the butter in our house, so therefore he has to go and steal in other houses. So I'll get the best cows. I'll get the best cows in the herd, and I'll feed him the best grass, and he'll give the those cows will give the best milk, and from the best milk we'll make the best yogurt and butter, and then Krishna won't have to steal." outside playing with Balaram and the other boys. And suddenly the boys come to Mother Yasoda complaining he's not stealing now, but rather he's not putting other people's butter in his mouth, but he's putting what in his mouth, they complain? Dirt. Mutti. He's putting dirt in his mouth. Mother Yasoda, the boys complain, Krishna's eating dirt. He's eating dirt. And Mother Yasoda says, Krishna, have you eaten dirt? All the boys are complaining about you, even Balaram. No, Mother, I've not eaten dirt. She's thinking, first he's stealing butter, and then he's... Krishna, Balaram wouldn't lie. He loves you. He and you are inseparable. Why would he tell a lie? Mother, there's some politics going on because they wanted me to eat butter and I wouldn't do it. They said they were going to get me in trouble. If you think I've eaten dirt, I'll open my mouth and you'll see. I've never eaten any dirt. Krishna then opens his mouth. And Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti, his potency of his opulences, then, because Krishna's in the mood of just a little boy, he's actually afraid that he's going to get in trouble because Mother Yasoda's love for him has compressed his consciousness, so he's acting like a little boy. But Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti, his potency, decides this is an opportunity for me to show myself. And when Mother Yasoda asks Krishna to open his mouth, and Krishna opens his mouth, she looks inside his mouth, and you know what she sees inside his mouth? She looks down all the way into his belly, and in his belly, not his mouth, she sees all the universe. Planets, seas, oceans, mountains, in my boy's belly. She thinks, what is going on here? Have I gone crazy? No, my mind seems to be working. Am I dreaming? No, I'm awake. Have the demigods put me under some spell or something and have bewildered me? No. What business I have with the demigods? Then she thinks, this must be the potency of my son, Narayan Osamo Gunai. Gaugarishi has said this boy has the potency of Narayan. This must be his potency. Mother Yasoda sees universes in her son's belly. And her love for him does not get this much smaller. Her love, her madhurya ras, Shuddha Vatsalya Bhav, is so powerful. It is like a tidal wave. Because love for him as my son cannot exist at the same time as love for him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because as soon as we see, oh, he's the Lord, he's the Supreme Lord, immediately we become afraid. His power overwhelms us. But Mother Yasoda's love is so pure. It is so powerful. That she can't even see for more than a few moments that her boy's power, that he's the absolute truth. And Krishna completely cooperates with that. And when she tries to bind him with rope, although his belly is unlimited, can you bind something, circumscribe something that's unlimited? Not possible. But yet she can do it because her love for him is so powerful. She forces the unlimited to act as if he's limited. And she binds his belly. She tells him, don't eat dirt or else. There is one verse, and I'll end with reading this last verse. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says this verse is the light by which you can understand Krishna's childhood pastimes by. He calls it a Paribhasa Sutra. Please listen carefully. Because Krishna's pastimes are unlimitedly deep, and if our consciousness becomes unlimitedly deep, then we can understand them properly. Here's the verse. Traya chopanadis chupanadistra sankiyogi sechatvatai. That the great rishis, the great, great, powerful sages, they study the Vedas, Traya, the three Vedas. They study the Upanishads. They study Sankhya Yoga. And what are they understanding ultimately through their studies? Ultimately, they're understanding the absolute truth through their studies. That is the purpose of their studies. It is rare that someone will study and perform austerities or whatever, be so renounced to the degree they will actually understand that absolute truth. And that same absolute truth, Mother Yasoda is considering her child. That same absolute truth, that same absolute truth that there is nothing in existence that is separate from everything we see here, that we don't see, the planets. That same absolute truth, Mother Yasoda is holding and embracing. And that same absolute truth cries tears when Mother Yasoda threatens to tie him up. This is the mystery of bhakti, of Braja Bhakti. Please study the Srimad Bhagavatam. Please chant Hare Krishna. And please let us all chant Krishna's names and develop love for this all-attractive Supreme Person, Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.